Hello and welcome to Fanfic Theater. My name is Trevor and I'll be your host for this evening. Adam has been traveling across this great country of ours this week, giving workshops in high school and community college creative writing classes along the way. He is a true missionary of fanfiction, and with just cause. It's so sad that there are so many writers out there who are using their imagination to create their own original work. Anyone can do that. The imagination is a magnificent machine that too many writers throttle. And forgive me for waxing poetic, but the art of fan fiction, the method and the love for taking characters developed by someone else and putting them into your own tale, your own saga, well, that requires not just an imagination with power, but an imagination with more power. Such an example is tonight's story. Ladies and gentlemen, open your ears, and open your minds, and open your hearts for O'Malley Anatomy 26's Depression. Tim stared at his son's report card in disbelief. In practically every subject, Mark had gotten an F or a D. English was the only one that he managed to get a C- in. This is by far the worst report card he has ever seen from any of his kids. Even Brad didn't bring home these kinds of grades, no matter how much he struggled with school. And while Mark was never the genius that Randy was when it came to school, he always had decent grades. He decided to talk about it with Mark before Jill came home, saw the report card, and lost it.
Don't you knock?
I did knock. The music was too loud.
Oh.
I got your report card in the mail today, son.
Have you shown it to Mom?
Not yet, but you know I have to, Mark. Can you tell me what happened?
I don't know myself, so I guess I can't say.
Well, something had to have happened. Are you dating anyone? Did they break up with you recently?
Why do you have to assume the girls would always be the one to break up with me?
I'm sorry. Did you break up with someone?
No. It's nothing like that.
Oh, no.
Are you doing drugs?
Dad, how could you even think that?
Well, are you? Something's bothering you, Mark, to cause grades like this. I'm trying to help, and you're not being very helpful.
No, I'm not doing drugs. Is the interrogation over now?
No. Mark, all I'm trying to do is figure out what the hell is going on with you.
Nothing is going on with me, Dad. You're just being paranoid.
No, I'm not. Over the past year or so, you've changed, Mark. It's like I don't even know my own son anymore.
Maybe you never did. I'm not Brad or Randy.
I know you're not. What does that have to do with anything?
You're always closer with those two than you were with me. So maybe you never knew me. Not like you know them, anyway.
Is that what's bothering you? Do you feel left out? Not loved enough?
Dad, seriously. You're driving me crazy with all these questions.
Tim threw his hands in the air in frustration. Then help me out here. I'm not mad at you about the grades, Mark. I'm confused and frustrated. I'm trying to figure out what the problem is here.
There is no problem. So you can just relax, okay?
No, there is a problem. You wouldn't be getting grades like this if there wasn't one. This conversation isn't over, young man. I'll have to show your mother your grades. You could probably expect her later tonight.
Can't wait.
This isn't punishment, Mark. We're doing this because we care about you. Mark was silent for a few moments before responding.
I know.
A few minutes later, Jill sat in equal shock at the table.
Tim, we should have paid more attention to him.
I know.
Oh, and right on the night that Brad and Randy are getting in, too.
That's tonight? I thought that was tomorrow.
No, tonight at 8. Both of their flights are coming in together, Tim.
Well, listen, if you want, I'll pick them up. That way you can talk to Mark alone for a few moments.
Well, Tim, I think you just had a good idea.
Tim shrugged with a hint of a smile on his face. It happens. Finally, around 8 o'clock, Tim was waiting anxiously for his two other boys. The two boys, he understood. He had hoped that college didn't change them drastically. Change them to the point where he wouldn't even recognize them anymore, like Mark. His smile grew as he saw Randy come off the plane.
Say, Dad, what are you doing here?
Randy asked as they hugged.
Oh, is that the greeting I get after months apart?
Sorry, it's just that I thought Mom was coming.
Well, we decided she should stay home and talk to Mark some. Randy frowned. He had never been close to his little brother, not like he was with Brad. And sometimes, like now, he regretted that.
He's not doing so good, is he?
Not as good as I hope he would be doing.
But enough of that. How are you? How was the flight?
Did you get my tape?
Put the passengers right to sleep.
Oh, I think we need to work on that sense of humor.
Tim growled as they headed to the gate where Brad would be coming out of. Finally, all three of them were in the car, luggage in the back seat.
So, why isn't Mom here again?
Brad asked. Because she wanted to spend some time one-on-one with Mark, all right? I already had a talk with him this afternoon. He failed most of his classes. Even Jim. Randy and Brad looked at each other.
Wow. You're telling me.
Look, I know you two were never close with the kid, but maybe you could try talking to him. With me, it's like talking to a brick wall. Maybe he'd open up to his brothers or something. Your mom and I would sure appreciate it. Brad and Randy glanced at each other. The thought had already passed through both of their minds, so they easily agreed to talk to Mark, though they figured it wouldn't make much of a difference. Finally, after a heartwarming reunion hug from Jill, both the boys went up to Mark's room.
God, doesn't anyone knock anymore?
Mark snapped as he whipped around from his computer. He stared at his brothers.
Oh, it's you. When did you guys get here?
Just now, dingus.
Mark, what the hell is going on here?
What is this? An intervention?
Maybe. Have you been drinking?
Do you know that you're the second person to ask me that? And Dad even asked me if I was on drugs.
Well, are you?
No! What the hell is wrong with you people? Just because I'm failing classes and not as popular as you guys and more solitary, does that mean I'm into hardcore drugs and drinking and cutting?
Who said anything about cutting?
Mark stopped, catching himself in a trap.
Nobody, I guess.
Mark, have you cut yourself recently? Or ever?
Of course not. Look, I admit that things are great at school. That doesn't make me a screw-up like Mom and Dad seem to think I am.
Hey, let's see your arms, Mark,
Randy said quietly. He didn't know how he knew, but he knew Mark was lying about the cutting. Mark stared at him.
You've got to be kidding me.
We'll force you, if you don't.
This really is an intervention, isn't it?
Mark pushed his sleeves up aggressively. Aggressively.
See?
And they did see. His arms were clean and scar-free. So were his wrists.
Alright, sorry. Just wanted to make sure, you know?
Mark nodded and glanced at Randy, who was giving him an odd look.
Why are you looking at me like that? Do I have warts on my face or something?
I want to see your stomach and your legs.
Are you crazy? Did you turn psycho when you left?
I spoke to a couple of people at one time at my college. They said that when they cut, they hid their cuts. They didn't cut their arm or their wrist. That was too obvious and too dangerous. They cut their stomachs, chest, and legs.
Holy shit.
Lift up your shirt.
Look, guys. Come on. Would I do that, guys?
We don't know. We don't really know you. And that was mostly our fault, okay? So we have to find out the hard way.
It was just one time.
Show me. Slowly, Mark raised his sweater. There were three tiny scars just above his stomach. They were fresh. Brad closed his eyes.
Sure you got any on your legs?
You're not going to tell Mom and Dad, are you?
We have to. This is for your own good, Mark. You'll thank us one day.
No, I won't. I'll never forgive you if you tell them.
He suddenly hissed with anger in his voice.
I'll hate you forever.
Good. I can live with that. Tim and Jill both sat at the table, each dumbfounded with what the boys had told them.
Tim, I can't believe our baby would want to hurt himself.
He's not a baby anymore, Jill. He's a young man in serious trouble.
At least he's not cutting anywhere near his wrists. I mean, that means he's not trying to kill himself, right?
I guess the question is, what kind of emotional pain is he dealing with, and why?
They all looked at each other. None of them knew how to respond to something like this. Never in their wildest dreams, or nightmares, did Tim or Jill even consider one of their sons cutting themselves. Show. Randy paused for a minute. What should we do?
Boy, never thought Mark would wind up so messed up. Kind of makes me feel guilty for not being nice to him when he was younger, when he wanted to talk to us, hang out with us and stuff.
Yeah, I know the feeling. And now when we want to talk to him, the tables have turned.
Meanwhile, Mark sat in his room, slowly panicking. He knew from his brother's tones that they were serious. They were going to tell.
Shit.
And now, more than ever, the urge to cut lingered in his mind, taunting him. He stared at his Swiss Army knife that Tim had given to him for Christmas. Slowly, he picked it up and felt the small blade, almost greedily. His hand jerked back as the blade accidentally poked his pinky. Blood oozed from it. It wasn't the kind of pain he was hoping for, but he was too scared to go any further. He sucked his finger quickly, too afraid to look for a band-aid in the bathroom, too afraid of leaving his room.
Shit.
His parents are going to kill him. He'd be grounded forever. Not that he had any place to go, but still, that wasn't the point. If they didn't ground him, they would try to fix him. He would have to listen to some psychology bullshit from his mother or someone they hired. Well, the hell with them. He wasn't going to listen to some bullshit from a perfect stranger who pretended that he knew Mark. A perfect stranger, better than Mark knew himself. And to hell with his brothers. Now they are all of a sudden concerned for him? Angrily, he grabbed his suitcase and started to throw clothes in it. No way was he going to stick around for any of this. Suddenly, the door opened, and he froze. There stood his parents, Brad and Randy. They stared at him. He stared coldly back. You were about to run away, were you?
So what if I was? I wasn't going to wait around for you to fix me. I don't need fixing.
We're not angry at you, Mark. We're just...
disappointed, right? Disappointed that I couldn't be more like your precious golden boys here.
Mark, I don't care that you're not like them. I wouldn't want you to be all alike anyways. You are all very important people. Different kids with different problems. It's your turn for us to help you now, that's all. Before it's too late.
Before I kill myself, right, Mom? I know that's why you guys are upset. You think I'll slit my wrist one day, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Running away isn't the answer, though, Mark. Neither is cutting yourself. You may think you have it under control, when really, it controls you.
Jill stared at Tim. Since when did he have any insight into the world of cutting?
You act like you know something about it.
I do. My brother Steve started cutting himself when Dad died. It nearly destroyed him. I don't want you walking down the same path. Mark folded his arms. Brad and Randy were wise not to say anything. Tim walked to the suitcase and took out his clothes and threw the suitcase down the hall. Running away isn't the answer, he repeated. I don't want to have to lock you in your own room, but I'm not sure I have a choice unless you swear to me that you won't ever run away from your problems like that. Swear it to me, Mark. His voice was darker and more dangerous and with less grunts. Mark stared at the floor glumly. Promise me.
I promise. Will I have to see a therapist?
Yes. This isn't punishment, Mark.
It feels like it.
I'm sorry it does. I suggest you get to bed. You're all probably exhausted now.
It already felt like another lifetime since Brad and Randy had gotten home. They had forgotten that they only arrived that night. So much had happened already. It felt like they had been there for days. Slowly, they both looked at Mark sadly, before retreating to their rooms. Tim and Jill stood there for a few moment.
We'll see you in the morning.
I'm sorry,
Mark said suddenly.
I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry.
Tim paused at the doorway. So am I. Tim and Jill both left. When they did, it was then that Mark finally broke down in quiet sobs and fell asleep with tears decorating his face.
Thank you.